Tell it, tell it, sing it, sing it, let the joy bells ring it, o'er and o'er evermore, tell and sing the news.
Welcome to the Pastor's Heart. Dr. Craig Bush is pastor of the Grace Baptist Church in Kearneysville, West Virginia. Dr. Bush has been preaching, counseling, and encouraging people since 1980. Let his 4+ decades of experience help you today. We pray the Lord will use this time to keep you encouraged in your spiritual life. Join us now as we dive into some practical thoughts and truths from God's Word.
Hello, friend. Welcome to the Pastor's Heart broadcast. This is Pastor Craig Bush, your host, and I want to encourage you today with a thought from God's Word. In Matthew chapter 16, verses 21 through 23, the Bible says, "From that time forth began Jesus to show unto his disciples how that he must go unto Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and chief priests and scribes, and be killed, and be raised again the third day. Then Peter took him and began to rebuke him, saying, Be it far from thee, Lord, this shall not be unto thee. But he turned and said unto Peter, Get thee behind me, Satan. Thou art an offense unto me, for thou savorest not the things that be of God, but those things that be of men." Jesus went with his disciples to a place called Caesarea Philippi. They've just gone through the battle with the Pharisees and Sadducees. And he turns to his disciples and he asks them who that they think he is. The disciples begin to tell Jesus who they've heard people say that they think he is. They say that some think you're John the Baptist or Elijah or Jeremiah or one of the prophets. And Jesus asks his disciples and he said, but who do you think I am? Peter, one of the three closest men to Jesus while he was here on earth, speaks up and says that he is Jesus the Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus praises Peter for recognizing who he really is. Jesus then begins to show the disciples how he's going to suffer and eventually face death. Showed them how that he would resurrect from the dead. Peter, out of an act of love and protection, I personally believe, speaks up and tells Jesus that he's not going to allow anybody to hurt him. Jesus then looks at Peter and says, Get thee behind me, Satan. Thou art an offense unto me. Wow. How would you like Jesus to rebuke you this harshly? Let's notice that Peter's response to Jesus is notated nowhere in Scripture. It doesn't say that Peter got hurt feelings. It doesn't say that he whined and cried and pouted. You see, no one likes to be corrected. But there will be times when everyone needs to be corrected by a leader. To be corrected means you have failed to please someone you really wanted to please. Correction means that you're wrong and have not performed up to the level that the leader expects from you. May I also say that no good leader enjoys correcting those who follow. Correction is not a life sentence. It is simply a leader who wants to prevent you from making the same mistake over and over and hurting others. Correction is a tool that a leader chooses to use to help his followers fulfill more of their potential. People receive correction in many ways. Some get angry. Others cry. Some try to defend and self-justify themselves, while others look at it as a step in success. Some quit or run or hide when corrected. Others reach deep inside and push harder. I've been on both sides of the correction. I've been the one who's been corrected probably more times than I care to think about. And as a leader, I've been one who's had to correct people. Let me give you 9 statements today. Number 1, remember that the leader who corrects you cares about you. A leader who corrects you feels you have a higher level of potential than you've given. A leader who corrects you wants you to be a better you. If they don't fire you, if they don't send you away to never return, they believe you have more to offer than you're actually giving. parents need to learn to correct their children and help their children realize it's not a life sentence. Teachers need to correct bad behavior in a class or poor work levels. Pastors sometimes correct in order to prevent what they see coming down the road because they've worked with so many people. Remember that the leader who corrects you cares about you. They don't hate you. Number two, don't lie to yourself or to the leader about it. If the leader is correcting you, you didn't do it right. You may have done your best, but your best was not good enough. Did you know it's not a crime nor a sin to make a mistake? To lie about it is a sin. One of the greatest days of my life was when I matured enough to admit when I was wrong, even if I didn't feel I was wrong. The day I quit lying to myself about I was sincere enough to overcome any failure, that was not true. Real success came when I just said, it's my fault. Number three, you need to take it. You need to learn to humble yourself and face your leader eye to eye and take correction. If you decide you will humbly take your correction, it will not be as hard on you or the leader. Someone who needs corrected and they're willing to receive it, I don't have to be as hard on as those who are going to continue to justify the wrong that they're doing. Number four, never, never, never defend yourself. All of us are sinners. None of us are as good or as strong as we think we are. The only thing that hurts when you admit failure is your own pride. Don't defend yourself thinking you're fully right. Learn you may not have seen it quite as others have. Number five, shut up about the correction. You know, a fool wears correction like a medal of battle. Proverbs 15:2, Proverbs 29:19. A weak person tells everybody how mean the leader was for correcting them. People who talk about their correction have done nothing to fix the purpose of the correction. A loose tongue about correction will be grounds for more correction and a harsher correction later. How about we learn just to not talk about it? Number six, fix the problem. Don't try to cover it up. Don't try to smooth it over. Just fix it. Realize, let's not do the same thing over and over. Number seven, don't be a whiny baby. You know, feel the sting and the hurt of correction, but don't whine about it. I remember as a child, my dad would correct me or paddle me. He'd allow me to cry so long, and then he'd say, okay, dry it up or I'm going to give you something to cry about. So that's what you just did. But what he was saying was, time to turn it off and let's not whine. Don't make life miserable for you, for the leader, and everybody around you. Number eight, don't make any major decisions after being corrected. Don't go shopping. Don't go buy a new car. Don't run away. Don't decide to move. I've watched many people ruin their lives because they did something stupid right after being corrected. Number nine, thank the person who corrects you for caring enough about you to correct you. You know, your leader wants you to succeed maybe more than you want to succeed, because your success is their success. To thank someone who has corrected you means you've accepted your correction. The Apostle Peter did not respond to Jesus. He just fixed the problem. Let's have a great day today. Let's give God a great day. From the Pastor's Heart, this is Pastor Craig Bush.
Thank you for listening to the Pastor's Heart. We hope this broadcast has been a help to you. If you would like to hear more of Dr. Bush's messages or learn more about Grace Baptist Church, visit gracebaptistwv.com. That's gracebaptistwv.com. Let's go out and change eternity today.
Tell and sing the news.